The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast is brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. The Black Oak in Oak Lawn, the South Suburbs' finest casual upscale dining, and Marishka's in Crest Hill, family-owned and operated since 1933. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome to the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast with NBCChicago.com's James Naveau.
It's not even so much me as it's Ronick. He's good.
And 670 The Score's hockey guy, Jay Zawoski.
You don't play this game with a big heart and a big bag of knuckles in front of the net. You don't got dinky-doo.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. My name is James Naveau from NBC Chicago and The Athletic Chicago. And with me, as always, fresh from a vacation in Door County, the one, the only, the ever handsome, Jay Zawoski. Jay, how was Wisconsin, my friend?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you, I think I tweeted this or Facebooked it or something, but whenever I'm in need of a mental and spiritual reset, Door County is my place to go. And I think it's like, I know a lot of people from Chicago go, but I also find it criminal that so many have not.
Yeah.
It is just an incredible place, surrounded by beauty, no matter what time of the year you go. If you don't know, Door County is the peninsula between Green Bay and Lake Michigan. And it's just north woods, pine, incredible cherry orchards, apple orchards everywhere. It's just a great place to be. There's beaches, there's everything to do in Door County in the summer. It's a big-time summer destination. But I find it to be the most peaceful and my favorite time of year to go there in the winter when it's a little bit, you know, not so crowded, not so crazy. Most of the businesses are still open, but with limited hours. But it's just a really peaceful, beautiful place to be. And every time something tragic has happened in my life, that's where I go. So it's kind of become our getaway from home. It's what, about a 5-hour drive?
Thereabouts, yeah.
Real easy. Yeah, not too bad at all, depending on where you are in the city. I'm coming from way out south, so about 5 hours. Just a terrific, terrific trip. I could not have been more satisfied with it. Addie has a cold, so that sort of dampened it a little bit last night, but she rallied and was able to swim in the pool in the hotel twice since last night. So
awesome.
She's doing okay. But it was great. It was great. It was just what I needed, and I'm feeling a refreshed and happy, and I've also had some time to, you know, reflecting time, which is needed when these things happen, and I had that. So, all in all, very good. I'm very happy we did it. We did it kind of on a whim, you know, like, maybe we should do this, and then we just bit the bullet and did it, and that's kind of our new philosophy, because you never know, you know? You never know when this is going to be taken from you, so with that in mind, we're just sort of saying YOLO, as long as we can afford it, as long as we can justify it, we're going to do it.
Guess so, man. That's awesome. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I had a relaxing weekend as well. I didn't get to do anything cool like go to Door County, but my wife and I recently bought hammocks, like hammocks that you can like basically stuff in a bag and bring anywhere you go, and I literally have gone out 3 times this weekend enjoying the weather. Just throwing the hammock up, laying by the river, eating lunch. Good God. I wish I could do that every freaking day.
Well, it's great timing. I mean, damn, the weather has been outstanding. It was good in Door County. It was like 45 to 50, which is pretty nice for up there this time of year. But down here, I know it was phenomenal. It's funny. We were actually fortunate enough to catch some traffic by O'Hare, so we put the windows down. And we're very pleased with what we found. It was great.
Yes, it was fantastic weather. And, hey, you know what? It kind of made the bye week a little bit better because you actually got to, like, go outside and do stuff.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, boy, it's funny. You know, sometimes the grind of the season can get to you, and I'm sure it's not just me and you who have to do this for work a little bit, but also for fans when we all know the ultimate prize starts, you know, in April when the playoffs start, when the real season begins. So the regular season can feel like a bit of a grind, but, man, that long of a stretch without hockey, that was getting to me. I really wanted a game. I really wanted it. And you saw the Hawks kind of take it to the Oilers and not win the Cam Talbot game, it will be known as, throughout hockey history, or until next week. And then another real solid, you know, 60-minute victory over the Sabres last night.
Oh,
and a decent team, too.
Yeah, and they looked really good, and they looked good in key areas against that team, too. They showed the graphic at the beginning of the game where the Sabres had the second best power play in the NHL, and the Blackhawks have like the third worst penalty kill. And the penalty kill was money last night. They looked really good. I loved what Dennis Rasmussen did on the penalty kill. He is everything I hope for in terms of a guy who forechecks and just ruins passes at the top of the point. That is something you really need to do in order to disrupt an offense. Marian Hossa looked really good on the penalty kill. Really liked what Nick Hjalmarsson brought to the party. And of course, you can't talk about the penalty kill and the defensive effort without bringing up Scott Darling, who made some awesome saves last night. It just was... All the attention went to the goals, but to me, the big takeaway from last night was how good the Blackhawks looked defensively in those key situations.
Well, especially in the third period, because you saw Joel Quenneville mentioned it probably about midway through the second for the coach's interview, just said, you know, we're doing some good things offensively, but we're a little loose defensively, letting up too many chances, too many quality chances. And once the third period started, I think towards the end of the third, I think the Hawks had only allowed four shots on goal that entire period. But yeah. I don't know what it finished at, but it was something very close to that. And you mentioned Marian Hossa. How about him last night? It almost looked like he was just sort of having fun. Like, oh, let me see how many guys I can skate through, skate around, and keep the puck away from. He was just out there on another level, man. And every now and again, I mean, he's always sort of like that. But every now and again, you'll see him just sort of flex his muscle a little bit and say, look what I can do. I probably could pass this puck right now, but I'm not going to. I'm going to put it through your legs. I'm going to put it over your head. I'm going to put it, you know, through your soul and make you look as ridiculous as I can on the ice. And then if you happen to take it away from me, I'm going to go back, take it from you again, and do it again. And this is going to happen, and you're going to watch it happen, and you're going to like it, because I'm Marian F. and Hossa, and you're not.
That's, you know what? He has basically been doing that all season. And not to, you know, be too self-promoting, but I was on The Score the other night with Hub Arkish. And
never heard of it.
He asked me about Marian Hossa and how he's been playing this season, and he's like, seems like he's been slowing down a bit lately, and I don't see it, man. I still see the same aggressive player that we've seen all season. He is thriving not having to play as many minutes as he used to when he was playing top line right. minutes all the time. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a huge key for him, and add in the long off season that he had to kind of recover. This is the Marian Hossa the Blackhawks have to have if they're going to be successful this year, and they're getting it.
Well, you're right. I haven't seen him slowing down. I guess I was trying to think of what he could have meant when he said that.
I think he meant more like he kind of was regressing in terms of scoring.
Yeah,
like
the pace of his scoring
kind of slowed down. Yeah. And to be fair, like, you can't – it was unsustainable. He was never going to be able to continue at that pace, I didn't think. So, I mean, that to me, like, I think that's kind of what he was driving at, is that the goals were drying up just a little bit, but he's still doing all the other things well that he needs to do well, whether it's defensively or, like you said, just toying with dudes and clowning them when he has the puck. It's ridiculous watching him.
Well, see,
that.
It's funny, though, because the only thing that was a concern to anyone was the fact, you know, could he score at the pace we're used to anymore? And now he leads the team with 21 goals. And again, yes, a lot of those came very early in the season, but the rest of his game has not dropped off, and if he can sort of sustain the pace he's at now, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine, and like you said, on a third line, thriving with fewer minutes, with less, I guess, I don't want to say attention paid to him, but he's not up against the opponent's top checkers all the time, you know, or second-best checkers even. He's out there with a line that's not totally a threat to score in the minds of the opponent, and that's given him a little more space and a little bit of better matchups personally. And, man, last night he was just that's the Marian Hossa. You want to say, you know, someone comes down from outer space and says, tell me about Marian Hossa. You just show him that game video and you got the story. That's you saw everything that guy does well last night.
It's really adding into the narrative that's been coming lately that the Blackhawks, they're deeper than they were last year. And you're seeing it now. You're seeing line combinations that work. And it's not just the Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin show this season. And that was absolutely what they needed to do, and it's been absolutely critical. And you're seeing guys like Marian Hossa have rebound years. You're seeing a lot of the young kids like Ryan Hartman and Nick Schmaltz really looking good right now. Even guys like Richard Panik still looks really good. It's crazy. Like, they're getting production out of everyone, and the scoring issues they were having last season where they literally couldn't get a goal from anyone but the top three guys, it's not happening anymore. They're spreading the scoring out, and teams are finding it's really difficult to defend against them. And yeah, they've still got some flaws, but damn, they got some strengths too.
Well, see, it's funny. Going into this year and early when we sort of questioned the team's offensive depth, we didn't know quite what we had in Dennis Rasmussen and Ryan Hartman and Vinny Hinostroza and Nick Schmaltz now, who's really come into his own since his second, you know, since he was recalled after being sent down. He's a different guy. And I spoke with Brian Campbell last week out in Downers Grove for my On the Glass appearance, and he said that, he was a different player when he came back from Rockford. That Nick Schmaltz was a different guy, completely a different player. Speaking of On the Glass, I am with Nick Schmaltz on Friday at Riley's Daughter in Oak Lawn. That's 111th and Pulaski. So coming out, meet Nick Schmaltz. That event starts at 7 p.m., wraps up around 8:30, and you can win Hawks tickets. Those are hard to get, you know.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And I really wish I wasn't covering regional basketball. Otherwise, I would totally go to that. I actually would be very interested to hear what a Nick Schmaltz has to say about the way he's come alive really lately.
Yeah, you can see it. You can see it in his game. He's just a lot more confident. It's funny, you know, when you think about it, in a game as fast as hockey, a split second can mean the difference between a good play and a bad play, right? A moment of hesitation can make the difference in a spectacular goal versus something that just completely falls apart. And you've seen Schmaltz with, I hesitate to call it confidence because it feels like a cop-out. It's something that too many sports talking heads use to sort of say something they don't know how else to explain. But I really do think that that's the word here, is he knows that he belongs here now. He has gone and fixed the things he needed to fix. He's played on the top line with Jonathan Toews, and he has revitalized that line. It's been him. Jonathan Toews is scoring now. Richard Panik, well, he's not scoring, but he's missing wide open nets. And that's a good thing when a net is wide open, typically.
even though he didn't put those shots home last night that should have resulted in goals, I liked his game anyway.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
I just wanted to throw that out there. He, once again, hitting everything that moves on defense, and then on offense, creating chances constantly. Jonathan Toews has to be thanking his lucky stars right now that finally he found a pair of line mates that are really clicking and really helping him take his game to the level that we're used to seeing from him. That to me might be one of the biggest stories of the season so far, has been the fact that Jonathan Toews has finally found this grouping that's really helping him succeed.
With that said, how do you feel headed into the playoffs with that as your top line? Do you feel that that's a strong enough line to contend?
I think that if they continue to get the scoring that they've gotten from Marian Hossa, and if the second line of Kane, Anisimov, and Panarin continues to produce at the level that we know they can produce at, I think you can do that as a top line, because you're going to have teams that are going to struggle to game plan how exactly they're going to stop those lines. Like, you can't have your top defensive pairing on the ice all the time. And if you have scoring production coming out of two or three lines, that's a hell of a bonus to have. And I think it really will help take some of the pressure off of Schmaltz and Panik. And I really think that the key is just going to be to continue getting the production out of each of those groups. It can't go back to being a one-man show again.
Right.
If it comes down to it, if Marian Hossa stops scoring, that makes it easier. You might have to change some stuff up, but I think right now you continue rolling with that line and you feel good about it. And if that continues to the playoffs, then that's good news for the Blackhawks.
Well, and that's always been the thing that's been a difference between the Blackhawks and the teams they've played against for Stanley Cups, is that depth they have had in 2010, 2013, 2015, depth that other teams can't match, and that's been their secret. You know, obviously they have world-class talent in the core that we all talk about all the time, but at the same time, it's not just those guys. You know, teams like the Capitals and the Kings, who have won a couple cups, obviously, and the Wild have some world-class talent, but there's a big drop-off from the top to the bottom. Now you're seeing with this Hawks team, with the emergence of the guys we mentioned, Hartman, Caro, Schmaltz, Panik, those sort of guys have sort of rounded out the talent in the bottom. And now, like you said, there's three or four lines that are a threat to score every time they're on the ice. Meanwhile, you've still got guys like Andrew Desjardins, Jordan Tutu that can come in and fill in the lineup when maybe one of those young kids slows down or hits a rough patch or needs, you know, to take a break or whatever. You've got that depth in the organization on the roster now that can come up and sort of spell those guys or help them out if things start to struggle a little bit. So they're in really good shape. I do still think they're going to do something at the deadline. Boy, I don't know what it's going to be. They do seem pretty happy, and everything Stan Bowman has said seems to indicate he's not going to go do anything major like last year with Andrew Ladd or anything like that. But
there isn't an Andrew Ladd really on the market right now, is there?
Well, I think a lot of Hawks fans are pining for Patrick Sharp. I've been
not
sort of
not going to happen.
Yeah,
and it shouldn't happen.
I agree. The dude's done. I don't. You know, if he wants to come back here next year and do what Brian Campbell did and
God
play
bless
for a million,
him. I'll take that.
Sure, absolutely. But if you think adding Patrick Sharp to this mix now is going to make the Hawks a hell of a lot better, I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. So, and you know what that's going to mean is Q is going to inherently trust Sharp over someone younger who may have earned the time and earned a look. So, you know, Patrick Sharp was great when he was here. There's no question about it. But his better days are behind him. He's constantly banged up. He's a hit away from probably being out for the season with all the concussions he's had. So that's not a name I'm looking at. I know Hawks fans are nostalgic about it. I know they want their guy back, and I understand it, but I just don't think it's the right fit right now.
To me, unless you can go out and get a guy like Thomas Tatar or, you know, whatever, like somebody of that level where it's like they're young enough that they could potentially be a future piece, I'm not giving up a crap ton for any of the guys that are out there. I'm not looking to give up a first-round pick and more to get Martin Hansel.
No.
I'm not looking to give up a bunch of stuff to get Jerome Iginla from the Avalanche. I'm just not feeling a lot of the guys on the market. Like, maybe a lower key acquisition, like a Patrick Eves kind of guy, I could see, like, adding somebody like that to the team.
Sure.
But I'm not looking for the Blackhawks to make a big splash. I don't really think they need to at this point. I think that they certainly can add. I mean, I'm not saying they're a perfect roster. They're not. But I think the point is no one else has a perfect roster either.
You're right.
So,
yeah.
That to me, whatever you can do to improve the team without jeopardizing your future by giving up too many assets, I think would be a win.
Well, the other problem, too, is that you can't acquire anyone with a high contract without giving something else up. Mm-hmm. And that's not, again, like Jerome Iginla has been the name we've talked about. Am I giving up someone I like to get Jerome Iginla here? I mean, if it's for a fourth-round pick, okay. But I don't know how that money works. And I know they've been doing some things to make every possible penny available at the
right
deadline. But I don't know. I think you're right. Someone like Patrick Eves, who's not a huge name, but can come in and add stability and depth to the lineup. Again, the top six is pretty much established. If Richard Panik starts to, you know, fall off a little bit, Marian Hossa goes right back up there, no problem.
Exactly
right?
What they would do.
Of course. Now, barring injury, of course, this all goes without saying. If someone gets hurt between now and the 28th, those things sort of change. But I just don't see the Hawks going out and giving up a kid they like a Hinostroza, like a Schmaltz, like a Hartman, for a rental. There's no way. Like you said, Thomas Tatar, that's a guy that can come here and play for a couple years if you can figure out that money, sure.
Yep.
Then I would think about it. But I'm in no hurry to do a rental again. I'm just not.
Yeah, and you got to realize that a lot of times when these, like, bigger names are being attached to the Blackhawks, like when the, you know, Landeskog or Duchesne rumors were on, for example, who's the first guy that instantly was included in any of those trades? It was Ryan Hartman or Nick Schmaltz. And I'm not giving up either of those guys for that kind of a contract situation, because you're putting yourself in absolute hell next year if you do that. So, I don't know, man. I'm looking more at keeping a lot of the guys that they have and making a kind of a lower level move. Like I said, I think Patrick Eves would check a lot of boxes. You're looking for a type of player like him, or a P.A. Parenteau kind of player, basically. You're not looking for an Andrew Ladd this season. You're looking for a boost, not a huge new piece.
Well, Patrick Eves, by the way, no slouch. Just looking up his numbers here, 21 goals, 11 of those on the power play. That's an effective player. that's a dude that's going to make your team better without a doubt. It's not like just sort of adding another Andrew Desjardins or Jordan Tutu. This is a guy that can play and probably wouldn't cost as much to bring as one of those big name players.
Right, that's exactly what I meant. He's not going to come with the price tag of some of the higher profile guys. He's quietly having a really strong season, and I think the Blackhawks might be able to do something. Is he on an expiring, by the way?
I believe so, yes.
I think that's the case.
Yep.
Oh, because that's been part of the reason there's been kind of a groundswell of people interested in maybe bringing him here, and I'll happily put my name on that list. I feel like that's definitely something the Blackhawks should consider.
I'm just looking up his contract right now. He is a $1 million deal for this year. This year. He will be an unrestricted free agent when this year ends. How do you think Patrick Hughes would feel about a high-profile playoff run on a team that's won 3 Stanley Cups and could be headed to their 4th, headed an unrestricted free agency? That's a dude that, 32 years old, probably on the wrong side, but I feel like he's a young 32, hasn't been in a league a really long time. So he's got probably a little more mileage than your typical 32-year-old. Boy, I think for him to go and have a nice playoff showing, if he can have an Andrew Shaw-type playoff, dude can make himself $4 or $5 million plus in this offseason. So
one of my secret weapons when I used to play NHL 13 and I did the franchise mode, I ended up getting him, and he just always ended up being a huge bargain, and he would score a ton of goals. It was fantastic, so the video game nerd in me is actually really excited about this as well.
Ooh, see, I like that. We've been giving our listeners homework assignments. I like this as a homework assignment for this week.
Oh, the secret weapon, yes.
Yes.
I would love to hear that.
Who is your NHL video game series secret weapon? A guy that's a little off the radar of most hockey players, or most hockey fans, or most sports fans in general, or people that would play the game at all. Boy, I'm trying to think of who mine was. Man, because we used to play, what was the one with Eric Lindros on the cover? 96? 98?
I thought 96 had, like, Sergei Fedorov on the cover. I think Lindros may have been, like, 97 or 98.
Yeah. Boy, I'm trying to think of who mine would be. That's a good question. I'm going to give myself the homework assignment because I need to think of it myself. The trick is, at least back in the day, was you find someone with a lot of speed, and even if they don't, you know, even if they're not a great player in the league, as long as they're fast, they're going to get a ton of chances in that game. So
I would always get speedy forwards and big defensemen, because then the speedy forwards get the puck moving up the ice when the bigger defensemen hammer the crap out of the guy with the puck and knock him over. So that was always the key to my success in running an NHL video game franchise. So any teams out there, they're looking for a GM. That I just gave you my operating philosophy right there.
All right, well, I think I just thought of one. I don't know if this counts because he's starting to become more well-known, but for the last 3 or 4 years when I played that Hockey Ultimate team, my guy has been Cam Atkinson.
Ah, yes.
A perfect example, little guy, you know, good shooter, all those little things, but not a lot of people have heard of him. You can find him pretty cheap on the Hut Marketplace. That's been my guy. I make sure he's on my team all the time. Meanwhile, I have my, 3 or 4 year journey still trying to get Pavel Bure on my team. I can't do it. I just can't find him in the card packs, and I can't save up enough coins to buy him. It's just ridiculous, and it's frustrating. And if the people from NHL are listening, I've been an annual buyer since 1993. I'd like to see a Pavel Bure Hut player in my inbox, please. Thank you.
I did want to mention something to you. You and I had talked about potentially doing a video game tournament of some sort,
yes,
whether it be NHL 94, which I think you had mentioned, or I had said something about Blades of Steel. I went to a bar in West Chicago a couple days ago called Cairo and played Blades of Steel, and it was fantastic.
Did you have to stop the game and blow in it for it to work, and then...
No, their Nintendo is in pristine condition. Really good.
Nice.
Like they had Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. They had several other games, but naturally, being the guy that I am, I had to play Blades of Steel and beat the crap out of Edmonton because that's just how I rolled.
All right. Well, you had to do it. The Hawks couldn't do it the other night, so it was you had to take it upon yourself.
And I did a darn good job, too.
All right. Well, before we move on, I want to tell our listeners about something cool that's going on for the next 2 weeks. There's a company called 26 Shirts that reached out to me a couple weeks ago when they heard about my sister's passing. What 26 Shirts does is every couple weeks they release a campaign to raise funds for families in need or good causes or anything along those lines. So the shirts are $24 and $8 goes directly to the charity of your choice. The rest goes, you know, between the production costs and the artist fees and things like that. But $8 goes directly to, for my sister who passed away, it's going to go to the Rush Hospital Epilepsy Center. So if you want to buy one of those 26 shirts, it's a real cool shirt. It's got sort of a Schoolhouse Rock look to it, the design, and it says Madhouse in Madison, and it shows the crowd in sort of an oval shape looking onto the stadium floor, and it's half Bulls and half Blackhawks. It's a really cool looking shirt. Again, it's $24 with, you know, give or take change here or there, shipping, things like that. But $8 goes directly to my sister's, I guess, our charity. If you don't know, if you're kind of in and out of the podcast, my sister passed away November 19th. She had battled with epilepsy for probably more than a decade, had a seizure in her shower and was knocked unconscious and ... fill in the blanks. She's no longer with us. It was a month yesterday. Still not any easier, still not any more normal, but we're trying to get by and we're trying to raise money for this hospital that did everything they could to make her life more livable. And they did. They did a great job for her, so we'd like to thank them. And again, if you'd like to donate, check out my Twitter. Check out the Madhouse Podcast Twitter. My Twitter is at jzawoski670, or the podcast Twitter is at madhousepod. Buy one of those shirts if you'd like to support the cause. If you'd like to just donate directly, hit me up. I've tweeted the link a couple times. I'll tweet the direct link to Rush if you'd rather do it that way, too. It's been great so far. Before this shirt campaign started, we had already raised $1,500 from people just donating to my sister's link. It's absolutely incredible. A lot of listeners of the podcast have chipped in, so I want to say thank you to them. But again, if you want to get one of these cool shirts, check it out, 26shirts.com, and check out the link directly on my Twitter or the show's Twitter page.
Yes, I would definitely advise everybody to take advantage of that and purchase a shirt. I will definitely be doing that. I didn't realize the campaign had gone live today until Jay mentioned it, so my wallet will be opening very shortly.
Well, I didn't realize either because I was on vacation. And Mike, who is one of the guys in charge of the site, sent me a message a couple days ago and said, "Hey, I want you to take a look at this. It's about to go live." And I said, "Yep, that looks good. There's one little typo I made on the little bio there, so we fixed that." And then it went live today, so I just tweeted it out probably around 7 o'clock p.m. on Monday night, and so it'll be up there for 2 weeks. So help out if you'd like. Again, if you'd like to just donate regularly, I'll tweet out that link as well, but I'd appreciate your support one way or the other. We always do. You guys have always come through for us with anything, and especially with this, which is obviously so near and dear to my heart and my family's heart. Anything you guys can do to help would be appreciated but not expected.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right. Man, well, we're behind on our reads. I got to tell people about Marishka's.
Yeah, I feel like we actually went really deep into this podcast without doing any of them. So, yeah, good hockey conversation. We did a thing, Jay.
We did do a thing.
We talked hockey. Thank God.
We've only had two games to talk about, too. So, come on.
True. Very true.
Marishka's, by the way, written up in the Herald News this week.
I saw that.
10 local restaurants to get a great burger in Will County. Marishka's right there on that list. So go check them out. 604 Theodore Street in Crest Hill, just west of Route 53, 815-723-9371. They're family owned and operated at the same spot since 1933. They have hand cut products in their own butcher shop, including their steaks, the aforementioned burgers, and of course, the world famous Poor Boy Sandwich, which is the greatest thing you'll ever consume in your entire life. They serve the highest quality of steaks, seafood, and chops, and numerous homemade items made fresh in-house, including their onion rings and double-baked potatoes, James's favorite, the Icelandic cod hand-cut on premises,
yeah.
A full carry-out menu, a full bar with craft beer, banquet facilities for groups up to 110 people. So visit them at marishkas.com and check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/marishkas. That's M-E-R-I-C-H. KAS. They're open 7 days a week and close only on Christmas, Easter, the 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. We love them. They're our bestest friends in the whole world.
They had some good launch specials this week. I may have to get up there either on Thursday. I think they've got like a steak that day. And then Friday, I think, is chicken parmesan. So I think I might make a trip to Marishka's this week.
Yeah, you know, I'm overdue. I might head out there this weekend. I got to see what's going on. I feel bad.
I feel like we're always overdue because
if you went yesterday, you're overdue. I mean, that's
yeah.
By definition, you should go every day. So, but I haven't been there since our event.
Wow. You mean I've been there more recently than you have? Holy crap.
Yeah, definitely.
Go me.
You know, we bought a house and everything. I don't know, you have been doing nothing basically with your life.
But Jay bought a house.
Have I used that excuse enough now that we've been here for 3 months? 4 months?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, I thought we were going to do a podcast in your house today, and then you were like, oh, let's just do a podcast tonight.
We'll do one here. Not today. We just got home. We got home like 3 hours ago, so... there's nothing ready to do today, but, okay. I think next week we're going to do one here.
Thank God I can come get my beer and my cookies.
Yeah. That's all it's about. You just want your Girl Scout cookies and your spotted cow that I brought you home.
You're damn right. Of course I want that.
It's good reason. It's a good reason to do it. I'm not chastising you at all. Trust me.
Thank God.
All right. We got to tell them about Triple Threat too.
Good God. Yeah.
I know. We're already, what, 35 minutes into this thing, and I haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, you have not told our friends about the awesome services that Triple Threat Sports provides, and I feel like that's something you must rectify now.
Well, when you want to go get your Patrick Eves Blackhawks jersey or your Thomas Tatar Blackhawks jersey or your Michael Roosevelt Blackhawks jersey, you know the best place to get it is at Triple Threat Sports. That's not a question. But if you have a team, softball, hockey, whatever, you're on it, your kid's on it, and you need to outfit that team, Triple Threat Sports is the way to go there as well. They can outfit travel teams, beer league teams, however many you need, they can help you out. They'll help you with every aspect of the job, from designing the logo to the fitting of the equipment and the jerseys, the apparel for off the ice, you name it, they will help you out. You know, it's not just hockey either. You can get it for baseball, softball, football, lacrosse, and more. So for more info, call Chris at 708-478-6090. That's 708-478-6090. Or email him for more info at chris@triplethreatsports.com. Triple Threat Sports, if you can wear it, they can make it. All right, so we're all caught up on ads.
Yeah, I feel like we did a good job getting those all, you know, knocked out.
We'd like to thank Chris, by the way, for producing the shirts that you can get if you donate to our podcast on our Patreon site.
You said we were done. What are you doing?
Well, you got to get it in.
Phrasing.
It's patreon.com/madhousepod. I'm very distracted right now. I'm sorry.
God.
Something just happened in my basement that I was not expecting. And,
well, you're getting it in, clearly. That's what you just said.
I'm what now?
You said get it in, which I instantly yelled phrasing repeatedly.
Yeah, that's not happening yet, but... it will after what just happened.
Oh my God.
Anyway,
we were doing so well, Jay.
That's patreon.com/madhousepod.
We were having such a good...
Donate and I'll send you pics.
we were doing so well.
I know.
And it's all just gone comically off the rails. What the hell happened?
It was so professional, wasn't it?
It's like, you remember the old Sports Center commercial where they were making fun of the anchors? They were trying to have a perfect show, and like they wouldn't talk to like Rich Eisen while he was doing whatever, and then he flubs a line, and everyone's like freaking out, like, "Oh, he blew the perfect show!"
Yeah,
like that's kind of what we just did.
Well,
we were having the perfect show, and we blew it.
Blame my wife on that one, not me. I had nothing to do with it. I was just here.
I will never blame Hope for anything ever.
Delivering a high-quality podcast, and things were revealed that I was not expecting to be revealed. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. All right.
I'm not complaining, however.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this is a great show. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
This is what the people want. Again,
yeah.
patreon.com/madhousepod if you want more red-hot content like this.
We're slapping the NSFW tag on this thing again.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, Well, you had to last week when I dropped my huge F-bomb. That was good.
You know what's funny, too? The initial, if you're an early downloader, you got the uncensored version.
Very nice.
And then I waited till the next morning to go in and beep that. So the late night crowd got the uncensored James F-bomb, and then the later crowd did not. So,
well, early bird gets the worm or the F-bomb, I guess.
That's the thing. We should do something like some of the other podcasts I listen to, just for scouting purposes. They when they use Patreon, they always have like special things for just their donors, right? So maybe maybe the donors get the uncensored version or something like that.
Is there a way we can do that? That would actually be awesome.
No, I don't think there's a way I can get them like a special version. The only way,
I still think what we need to do is have like some type of party just for Patreon donors.
I agree. That's going to happen. Like, that will definitely happen.
That I think we can do.
Yeah, we'll make that happen for sure. For sure.
And we'll buy you beers with the money you gave us.
Hey, we said it's for the podcast. We didn't say what we were going to use it for. We said it was going to be for the advancement of the podcast, and that's exactly what it would be.
Exactly.
If we bought beer for our listeners, that is advancing the podcast.
And I honestly don't feel like anyone would be offended if we did that.
I think they'd be offended if we didn't.
I agree with you. You know what? I'm glad that we have such a good understanding of how the minds of our listeners work.
Speaking of that, I got a trade request from Ginger Burger today. It was, I probably should have taken this, but I felt like just saying no to him. He offered me Tarasenko and Ryan Johansson for Patrick Kane.
I would have taken
that. Yeah, I probably should have, but I'm in first place. I don't know if I mentioned that lately. And I wanted to stay there.
I didn't set my lineup all week last week. I'm doing a really bad job of that.
Well, when you fall so far out of contention, it's hard to find the will to dress your team anymore.
To be fair, I was in fourth place, and that's like repeatedly not setting my lineup. So.
Third loser. I'm actually in fourth place in the Madhouse Hockey 2. I'm in fourth.
Yeah, that's the league I'm doing well in. The other league, God, I don't want to talk about it.
The other league, Madhouse Hockey 1, I'm in first place. I have been all year. My record, 99-52-19.
Wire to wire,
come
man.
On. That's a good team. You want to hear that roster?
Yeah, no, I don't actually. I don't think anyone cares. Anyway.
Yeah, I think people care. Claude Giroux, Alex Barkov, James Van Riemsdyk, Patrick Marleau, William Nylander, the suspended Gustav Nyquist, Erik Karlsson, Brian Campbell, Dustin Byfuglien.
Should have been suspended a hell of a lot longer than he was, by the way.
Yes, John Carlson, Joe Thornton, Jonas Brodin, Wayne Simmonds, my fantasy cheat. I love that guy.
I have him in the other league, so I completely understand what you're talking about.
Alex Radulov, Devin Dubnyk, and Sergei Bobrovsky. That's how you build championships, my friend.
Yeah, and I can't wait for you to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, you know, it's a draw. It's the bounce of the puck.
Well, you know what? That's how fantasy sports work.
Look at me talking out both sides of my mouth like, I'm great, but I could lose at any moment.
I apologize if you guys just heard my phone randomly dial a number for no reason. I don't know what happened.
You have a ghost.
Apparently. Yep.
That's the only... Yeah.
That's the only explanation,
I can possibly
come up with, yeah.
To say hi to it for me.
I will, yes. Holy crap, I'm in second place in Madhouse Hockey 2. I'm doing better than I thought. and I am in eighth place in Madhouse Hockey 1.
All right, well.
Yeah, not good.
I'm going to catch up. I'm going to start paying attention to 2 and start to make some roster moves. I haven't been manipulating my roster because my team's been doing so well. It's like if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
The problem I keep running into in Madhouse 1, and I know it's an excuse, yada yada, I keep getting injuries, man. Injuries are killing me.
Well, that's, you know, that's just
going to happen. And I know that's how fantasy goes. I totally get it, but it's just the reality of my situation right now.
All right, now that we've lost our audience completely.
Well, yeah, because we're talking about, again, crap they don't care about.
Exactly. Back to the stuff they care about.
Yay!
I got to tell you, this is really funny. My thing with Brian Campbell last week, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty. The microphone cord, like, just snapped, so we had to troubleshoot it. So usually for the On the Glass events, we do the Q&A first and then the autographs. But this time we did, let's do the autographs, and then we'll do a quick Q&A at the end of the night and let everybody go. So as we're doing the autograph session, people are coming up to him And I would say there was a crowd, probably about 150 people there. This was at another round in Downers Grove. Cool place, great place. And I would say two-thirds of them asked him about the Soup and the Sandwich series.
Oh, my God.
Not about the Stanley Cup that he won. Not about, you know, the big contract he signed and being traded, being booed in San Jose and booed in Buffalo and all those things. No.
Which, why? Why is he still booed? I get the
Buffalo one, I guess. But the San Jose thing, you're a trade deadline acquisition. You choose to go to free agency. Like, he owed the Sharks nothing.
Not a thing.
Like, the Sabres are at least a team where he started his career and you know, built things up and, you know, okay. I can see that they'd be a little butthurt that he didn't stay there. But the Sharks, they have nothing. I'm trying to think of an equivalent of that. Like, did the Hawks fans get mad at Chris Campoli because he didn't sign here? Like, after a playoff failure? Like, what's the comp here for the Blackhawks? Andrew Burnett? Like...
Oh, yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
Oh, God, yeah. Marty Reasoner.
Oh, God. Marty Turco.
Ah, yes. Well, did... what? Okay. Can you do me a favor, Jay?
Yes.
You generally have a better memory with this kind of thing than I do. Mm-hmm. Marty Reasoner was traded to the Blackhawks, and then what happened to him?
Let's look that up.
Didn't he get traded again? Like, I'm trying to remember. Like, it was a weird thing. I don't remember him ever playing for the Blackhawks. Like, I know he came over. I think it was in the Bufflin trade.
He never played a game for the Hawks. You're right.
Yeah, he got traded to the Blackhawks in the Bufflin trade. And then I think
to the Panthers.
He got traded, like, literally a month later.
You're right about that. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right, let's look this up. Now I'm fascinated. Let's see.
I'm kind of curious, like, what the trade was.
Let's see if, like, Google has not just deleted it from its history.
Google does not acknowledge that this thing happened.
No, like, I seriously just hit search, and it just was like, nope.
Nah.
I'm not looking for that. I have better things to do right now.
Find a better use for your time.
All right. Oh,
what was
God.
Your favorite
Here we
memory
go.
Of the Marty Reasoner era?
July 22nd. Marty Reasoner's stay with the Chicago Blackhawks didn't even last a month, as a veteran center was traded to the Florida Panthers for center Jeff Tafe.
There it is! Yes!
That guy's been on every team in history.
Yes, he has.
And if I'm not mistaken, Jeff Tafe never played a game for the Hawks either.
I believe you are correct. I don't think he played a single game in Chicago.
Oh, my God. Let's see. Jeff Tafe. 0 goal. Well, it's got him playing.
Oh, man. He actually
He played
oh
one
God.
Game for the Blackhawks. One.
Wow.
Well, and what
was
a game
it
was.
Was the last game of his career?
No. He went on to play in every other team. Let's see. Minnesota, Chicago, Florida, Pittsburgh, Arizona, New York, Arizona. 9-year career.
Good God. That's a journeyman right
And they
there.
Currently have him on the Capitals.
He's still in the league?
Oh, my God. I don't think he's in the league. I think he's... I'll bet he's still... Let's look him up. I'll bet he's still playing.
This is riveting.
No, I have to know now. I think this is... See, this stuff is interesting.
Actually,
like, whatever happened to this guy?
I feel like, yeah, like, the rabbit hole thing, I think, is actually kind of cool. So... I'm sure people will indulge us as we do this.
Oh, my God. Holy cow. Okay, right now he's in the KHL. Last 2 years he's been in the KHL.
Uh-huh.
The Blackhawks were his last NHL stop, where he did play one game, like we said. Oh, no, he played for the Wild. He played 5 games for the Wild in 2011-2012. So, the Rochester Mustangs, University of Minnesota, Phoenix Coyotes, Springfield Falcons, Phoenix Coyotes, Utah Grizzlies, Coyotes, Rangers, Wolfpack, Rampage, Coyotes, likes the Coyotes a lot, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton Penguins, Pittsburgh Penguins, Wilkes-Barre again, Rochester Americans, Florida Panthers, Rockford IceHogs, Chicago Blackhawks, Houston Aeros, Minnesota Wild, Hershey Bears, Linkoping's, HC, I'm not going to try this Russian name, Nizhnykamsk, I don't know what that is, and Bratislav Slovan this year. Jeff Tafe, 60 points. In 58 games. I'm sorry, that's penalty minutes. 42 points in 58 games. That's still pretty good.
Learn to read.
Come on. He's having a good year in Russia.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about figure out the stats, man. Come on.
Well, you know, it's Hockey DB on my phone. What do you want from me? I think we've reached the point where we acknowledge we're ready for emails.
That, I felt like that,
probably
that
20 minutes ago.
Segment, that segment actually went a lot better than I thought it was going to.
Oh, you had low expectations
for once,
then.
For once, my memory of a Blackhawk who never was actually a Blackhawk pays off because the Marty Reisner era had to be brought up. That just, it had to be done.
I like that. Can it be an era if it never happened?
Homework assignment. Weigh in on this topic, please.
All right, let's go. Ready for the emails?
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Email the guys at madhousepod@gmail.com or follow them on Twitter @madhousepod.
The email segment, as always, is sponsored by the Black Oaks. Nope, let me start that over. In 3, 2, 1. The email segment is sponsored, as always, by the Black Oak, the newest addition to the South Suburbs. Nope. The Black Oak is a full-service restaurant and tavern located at 9630 South Pulaski in Oak Lawn. The Black Oak serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner with hours from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. 7 days a week, with signature burgers consisting of a proprietary blend of beef brisket, beef chuck and short rib, and a steak sandwich made from Australian Wagyu sirloin. You're sure to love every bite. Make sure you try the wings, the fish tacos. Everything there is awesome.
And drink lots of beer.
Oh, well, yeah, the beer is cold and plentiful.
Yes.
Just the way y'all like it.
Mm-hmm.
With 13 TVs, you're sure to catch every minute of the Blackhawks. So stop by for an outstanding meal and stay for the great atmosphere. Contact the Black Oak at 708-572-4500 or on Facebook at facebook.com/Black Oak Tavern. The Black Oak, the South Suburbs' finest casual upscale dining. Check them out, 96 and Pulaski. By the way, as I was reading that, I remembered that the Black Oak will frequently show local high school football games live in the place, right? Like if Brother Rice is playing St. Rita, that's a big one. Then that jarred my memory to something I want to mention. You may have heard, you may have read, that Queen of Peace High School, which is located in Burbank, is closing after this year. My sister went there. A lot of my lifelong friends went to high school there. And it looked like all was lost for Queen of Peace. Well, in come my alma mater, the St. Lawrence Vikings, to swoop up Queen of Peace. St. Lawrence is going co-ed. And I cannot be happier, I cannot be more proud that my school, my alma mater, went in a moment where they're thriving and took a risk, took a chance to help out their sister school. They're located right next door from each other. They have been forever. And I know that the alumni were very excited about this possibility, and we're all very happy it's happening. So I'm glad that Queen of Peace, those girls there, will have the chance to finish their career at St. Lawrence. They will be away from the boys until, I think, 2021, because they want to respect the fact that some signed up for a, you know, single-sex high school experience.
Right.
They don't want to force that on anybody. But in 4 years, they'll be going co-ed, and for the time being, they're giving those girls the option of finishing their careers, their high school careers at St. Lawrence, and I could not be more proud of that. It's an awesome gesture.
Very cool.
Again, a big risk for St. Lawrence, who had just sort of pulled themselves out from sort of a slump. They've really started thriving athletically and academically lately, and for them to do this, they didn't have to. You know, they certainly could have taken the safe bet and just stuck with the things as status quo. But really, really proud that they chose to do that. Okay, sorry. That's my last digression of the day. But very cool. Very cool gesture.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
All right. Ready for the emails again? Yes, you are. We already asked you this.
Yeah.
Yes. Mike in Morgan Park. He says, my question is, what is the validity to Scott Darling in a starting position? His talent level is high, but I see him just as a great backup. And I mean that with no disrespect. Kind of like a reliever starter situation in baseball. He's great when we need him, but I can't really see him having the longevity to play 60-plus games in a season. Going with that, how much in salary will he command coming into free agency, and do the Hawks have any chance in signing him to remain in his current role?
I think that the Blackhawks, if the market doesn't materialize for Scott Darling, I think they would absolutely bring him back. You don't really have anybody in the minor leagues that's going to jump in and serve as the kind of backup that Scott Darling can. With that being said, I look at it as kind of a Cam Talbot situation where I think eventually he's going to get a starting shot somewhere. So I think this offseason, I do think he's going to get a contract to play 50, 55 games for another team. And so with that in mind, I'd probably ballpark his salary, what, Jay, like $3-3.5 million maybe?
That sounds right. Like, and that could be... if he continues to play at the level he is as a starter, a huge bargain.
I think that's a good number. Yeah, I think $3-3.5 million. I could see a team giving him that. There are plenty of teams that definitely need goaltending help, so I could see that happening.
All right, got an email here from Gingerburger. He calls himself I'm Fat Ginger. He really half-assed it this week.
Yeah, that's not great, man.
Come on. He could do better than that.
Bring the heat next week.
He didn't answer our homework assignment, which was, we know where there's brunch, but we need to name the meal between lunch and dinner. He said Dunch. Simple, succinct, Dunch is a winner. You're 0-2 on an email, Gingerburger.
I'm not loving Dunch. I think we can do better.
No, Dunch is terrible.
No, I'm not going to go that far. It's not phenomenal. Like, I'll give it probably 2.5 stars out of 5.
Out of 10. Okay, great. We agree. All right, he's got another question, as usual. He said, outside of Kane and Taves, this is actually a good question. Which of the core guys is most important to the Hawks' success?
1-for-3. See, there you go. He'd be a Hall of Famer in baseball.
That's right. So, aside from those two, who would you say?
Corey Crawford.
Interesting. I'm going to go with Duncan Keith.
I can respect that.
But I don't think there's a wrong answer. I think you could even go Jalmerson would even be an acceptable answer, too.
Yep, I think those are probably the three that I would say can't really be questioned. I think if you go Marian Hossa, I think is obviously quite important. I don't think he reaches the level of those other three. No offense to him. But
no, of course not.
Yeah, I think that those three guys are absolutely critical to the Blackhawks defensively. So I'm going to stick with Crawford, although I think Keith and Jalmerson are both very good options as well.
Okay. Kyle from Nashville has an answer to our homework assignment.
Well, thank God.
He says, Lunner is clearly the name for the meal between lunch and dinner. Lunner.
I think we're getting warmer on that. I actually like the way Lunner sounds.
Okay. We've got several questions here from Harrison. But he also does a homework assignment. He says Linner.
I think I've heard Linner before.
Okay.
And I'm okay with it.
That's probably my leader in the clubhouse. I'm still not satisfied.
I also think that it's also...
Brunch sounds so lovely.
But you also have to keep in mind, brunch, you're really bringing together two like disparate like food types, too. Lunch and dinner, oftentimes, you can eat pretty much the same thing. So
it's a solid point by you.
Yeah, like I'm not looking to reinvent the wheel here. I'm not thinking that this is like a pressing societal need, but I do think that we hit on something. We need to find a name for that meal.
All right, he's got Harrison also has some suggestions for D pairs.
Oh God,
he says Keith and Seabrook.
Okay.
Duh.
Okay,
please do. Campbell and Jalmerson and Kempney and TVR. I got to say, Michael Kempney is getting worse.
I thought he looked good last night.
Did you?
His possession numbers looked really good. He had four shots on goal.
I don't know. He's just not fitting for me. I don't know if it's...
Well, the problem...
If the language barrier... I know he's not playing enough. That there's validity to that.
Part of the problem is how the hell are you supposed to get into a groove and play well when you're never playing?
Yeah, well, you're right about that. But you've seen other guys who have been given similar opportunities sort of thrive and figure it out.
Well, not everybody can do that. Not everybody can play like a reserve role. Some guys have to play every night to keep their skill set sharp, and that's okay. Different strokes are different folks, man.
I haven't given up on him. I'm not giving up on the guy, but there's a lot of things that, while his metrics typically look pretty good, the eye test is just not... There's a lot of times where I just find myself staring at the ceiling when he's on the ice. Like, oh my God, what's going on? And by the way, Harrison also likes your PA Parento idea.
Boom, yes.
Boom, nailed it.
Yeah, I did a thing.
All right, question here from Matt. He says, during the TV broadcast, whenever a penalty occurs, they show one team's power play percentage and the other team's penalty kill percentage.
Uh-huh.
That's nice and all, but I feel like they've left me with an unfinished math problem. Is there a way to use these two numbers together to come up with their chance of scoring on this particular power play? And would it be more accurate to compare how they did in the last 10 power plays or penalty kills? There's got to be a way where they can do like probabilities based on percentages. The problem is you probably, and again, I am horrible at math, so I might be just talking completely out of my ass right now. But I think maybe the best way to do would be against like opponents, you know, power plays against similar opponents, or because if you're playing different schedules, you're not going to have the same. It's like one team has inevitably had a tougher go than the other, right? So you'd have to find a way to compare the teams equally. And I don't know if there's a real tangible way of doing that. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I do like the idea, though, of the last 10, because I do think you get in sort of, you know, you get in peaks and valleys
right.
on your special teams as the year goes on. So we've seen for years, like, the Hawks will have a terrible start to their power play for a year, and then all year they're sort of chasing that. But it does sort of normalize as the year goes on. So I'm all for that. And I think that the announcers sometimes will do a good job of mentioning, you know, in the last five games, blah, 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 they've done this and that. So
I think the five-game thing is I think that's a pretty good number to look at.
Andrew. Merker.
Merker.
Not a Merkin. Merker.
Is he related to Kent?
Maybe. Kent's a Jag, though.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, and I don't think so. Andrew can't be a Jag. He listens to our podcast.
I'm a Jag, and I'm on the podcast.
That's different. He says, I agree with Jay, naturally.
Oh, God.
There are way too many National Pizza Day or Insert Stupid Thing Here Day.
Oh, crap. Really?
It's especially idiotic with pizza, as every day should be Pizza Day.
No, because then when's Taco Day? When's Taco Day, then?
Every day also. If you had to make a national day to recognize something, what would you choose? Hope you guys have a happy National Gumdrop Day, this February 15th. Cook a Sweet Potato Day, February 22nd. And Skip the Straw Day, February 24th. Yeah, see, thank you for illustrating my point here, Andrew.
And this segment of Jay Hates Fun is brought to you.
What is fun about that? Like, okay, National Pizza Day. Do you make sure you go have pizza?
No.
Of course not. So what's the point? Unless I'm getting free pizza that day, I don't want to hear about it.
You know what? I'm going to declare February 20th as Jay Hates Fun Day for the rest of time and eternity.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm going
to
spend all day concocting things that I hate. You know what I hate? I hate walks on the beach at sunset. Those things are so overrated and cliched. You know what else I hate? An afternoon at the ballpark during the summer. Who the hell does that?
That's different.
No, it isn't. You hate everything fun.
I hate everything fun.
Yes.
Today is National Hyperbole Day.
Jay Hates Fun Day. Get the day right.
James Naveau. All right, let's answer his question. If we had to make a national day for something, what would you make?
I'm not going to answer his question.
I'm going to. Every day is burrito day.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I'm a cracker.
Every day. Every damn day.
Okay, you know what? No, I actually do have one.
No, you don't get to do it now.
Fine, I won't.
What do you think about that? I'm just going to beep it if you answer it. We're having a lover's spat.
It's sort of the first time we've had a fight on the podcast. And it's over
We really are like, don't do it. Fine.
Don't you have to go back to making fun of your wife? Shouldn't we hurry this along a little bit?
Why would I make fun of her? She flashed me during the podcast.
Now you have explicitly stated what she did instead of dancing around the issue. I appreciate that, Jay.
I think it was pretty obvious what happened.
It was obvious, but you didn't say it.
Okay, well, I just said it.
Yeah.
Boobs are shown.
Boobs are shown, as always. Boobs are always good.
All right, last email of the show goes to Paul in Watsika.
Watsika, hey!
His first few questions are about the trade deadline. We've addressed those. He does have some segment name suggestions, though.
Yes!
He says 3 stars of the week.
Okay, good.
Obviously, your top Hawks of the week.
Fair enough.
We could do that.
Yeah.
The Sin Bin, obviously the worst Hawk of the week, but it might get boring considering you're just rotating TVR into Jardins through each week.
See, here would be my counter to that. Instead of the Sin Bin being the worst Blackhawk of the week, why don't we say something that we feel guilty about doing in the previous week?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's a winner.
I think that's actually, that could be a really good idea. All right.
All right.
You said he had other ones, right?
Yes, but our homework is to remember to do the Sin Bin next week.
Okay.
Because mine might be revealing that my wife flashed me on a podcast.
See, I don't.
All right. Back to the Future is his other suggestion. A quick recap of potential future Hawks in Rockford or elsewhere. Draft stuff, etc.
Oh, I could do that one right now. Congratulations to Alex DeBrincat. Hit 50 goals for the Erie Otters.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, third year in a row, I think he's hit 50 goals, if I remember reading that correctly.
I believe he's the first player to ever do that, too, right?
I believe you are correct.
And it was always sort of thought like, well, he played with McDavid, so he's not as good as you think.
Yeah, well, guess what? He's still doing it.
Yes. He also says, I think these are better segments than Jay Hates Fun.
Oh,
I agree.
No!
I don't hate fun. I hate dumb stuff. You're mad. He's mad.
I am mad.
You can't be mad at me. I'm going to have to go back to Door County if you get mad at me.
Oh, yeah. Like, that'd be the worst thing in the world.
No, it wouldn't. I'd like to go there, though, for something that, just go because I want to go.
Fair enough.
Instead of, like, well, something horrible happened. Time to go to Door County.
Hey, why don't we go to Door County? We can go play golf at Peninsula Park. I saw you guys were up there the other day.
Here's the deal. And I'm not, now I was going to make another fight. But Door County is, it's my place. And it's with me and my wife and my daughter, and no one else can come.
Fine.
Because we have such a specific mindset and plan that everyone would hate us if they came with us. Like, we're just... What are we doing right now? I don't know. Let's get in the car. We're going to find something.
I just wanted to play golf with you. You can do whatever the hell you want the rest
of the
time.
Oh, we're playing golf. I want to play golf a lot this summer. I played no golf last summer, and that is a crime.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I got a new set of irons for Christmas, too, and I'm just dying to use them. So we're golfing. Oh, we're golfing.
Okay. Well, as long as you promise that, we're all good.
I do promise that. I'm just saying, like, Door County is, like, our... Everyone's sort of got that, right? Like, everyone's got, like, this is our thing. This is the thing we do. And when people tag along, it's not like you don't want them there, but you have this unnecessary, not unnecessary, but probably it's not even there, but this pressure to be like, are they having fun too? Are we doing enough things to make them happy? Are they upset? Are they disappointed they came with us? Like, I don't want to worry about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I may be overthinking it, but it's just kind of how I am. So, I don't know. I'm weird. This has been established.
Yeah, well, duh.
We all know that's the truth. But I will, I'll tell you, Door County, if you do go, there are so many things to do. But the place that everyone goes to in Door County is called L. Johnson's. Very famous. They have goats on a roof. It's a Swedish restaurant. We want to do what we could for the Swedes, considering what happened in Sweden this week.
Yes.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the people in Sweden. They were there for us after Bowling Green, so we got to be there for them after the Swedish incident.
Yeah.
So we went there and supported them, because we have to, because we're Americans. But there's a new place called Julie's. Oh, my God. We went there, so it was their last day of the season, because Door County pretty much shuts up from, like, March till the middle of April. To just kind of, because there's, it's not winter, it's not spring, there's really no reason to be there then. So they sort of lock up and redo everything then, like if they're building, if they're fixing, renovating, whatever. So this was their last day of the season. So it was like cleaning out the fridge brunch. Dude, it was insane. So it was just your basic like breakfast buffet. But then the owners kept coming out with stuff they just sort of made. Like, here's cherry stuffed French toast. Would you like a piece? Yes. Yes, I would. Please put 3 of those on my plate right now. Then they came out with, like, Eggs Benedict, and there was, like, a spinach feta portobello omelet, and they're just going table to table with, like, scoops of this stuff for people. It was awesome. Awesome. So that's the place. If you're not, it's a new place. If you're a Door County regular, make sure you check out Julie's. Is it in Ephraim? I forget where it is, but it's in Gibraltar. really good. Julie's in Gibraltar. Go there.
All right.
All right. They're not advertisers, though, so enough of that.
Yeah, enough of that free stuff.
All right, you ready to wrap this bad boy up?
I was born ready to.
Are we gonna make up?
Why do we have to make up? I figure let things simmer for a week and bury them deep inside where they can explode at a later date.
James, I feel like you were just not understanding what I was saying, and I understand your frustration. I'm not saying I don't like fun things. I'm just saying that I...
Don't you condescend to me, man. I don't even start that.
I'm just explaining my feelings.
I don't want you to explain your feelings to me. I want your feelings to more closely mirror my feelings.
That is real. That is... See, that's how it is. You just solved, like, every marriage in the world. Because that's the truth. Like, I know what you're saying, and I just... totally disagree with you and want you to think the way I think.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I'm going to resent you. And if you do, I win.
I just inadvertently said the most profound thing I've ever said in my life.
You did. You just solved everything.
Yes!
Way to go.
We ended the podcast on a high note.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast has been brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris 708-478-6090. The Black Oak in Oaklawn, the South Suburbs' finest casual upscale dining. And Marishka's in Crest Hill, family owned and operated since 1933. We're not saying another word. We ended the podcast on a high note. We'll talk to you later this week. Goodbye. We love you.
We love you.